भगवते वसुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रयेष्वबाधृषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी यं प्राव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनाविरहकातरा जुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतयोतरवो विनेदुस् तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। Today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Krishna lifts Govardhana Hill, Text 18. Tasmat matsharanam goshtam matnatham matparigraham gopaye svaatma yogena saha ayam me vrata ahitah tasman maccharanam goshtam tasman maccharanam goshtam mannatham matparigraham mannatham matparigraham gopaye svatma yogena gopaye svatma yogena soyam me vratahitaham soyam me vratahitaham tasman maccharanam goshtam mannatham matparigraham gopaye svatma yogena soyam me vratahitaham Mataji? Tasman matsharanam goshtam mannatham matparigraham
gopaye svatma yogena soyam me vratahitaham
tasmat Therefore, Matsaranam, having taken shelter of me, Goshtam, the cowherd community, Mannatam, who have me as their master, Matparigraham, my own family, Gopaye, I shall protect Svaatmayogena by my personal mystic power. Saha ayam, this, me, by me, Vrataha, vow, Ahitaha, has been taken. Translation. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, and I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Purport. The word Matsaranam indicates not only that Lord Krishna was the sole shelter for the Vrajajana, the people of Vrindavan, but also that Lord Krishna had established his home among them. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Anikarta Varga dictionary, Saranam Griha Rakshitraha. The word Saranam can represent either home or protector. The residents of Vrindavana adopted Krishna as their beloved child, friend, lover, and life itself, and the Lord reciprocated their feelings. Thus Lord Krishna lived among these fortunate people, moving in their houses and fields. Naturally, he would protect such intimate devotees from all types of danger. Srila Prabhupada ki. Tasman mat charanam goshtam, mannatham mat parigraham, gopaye svatmayogina. Soyam me vrata ahitaha. I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter, I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Om Agyanam Timirandasyam Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bhujokanaka Vadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Yantah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Darah Svadamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravana Tvagadim Prananamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tuvyam. Hare Krishna. It's indeed a great honor for me to speak in front of all of you this morning, especially on the day of the beginning of Kartik, when Krishna performed his most amazing and wonderful pastimes. And especially on the day of Rasa Purnima, when Krishna started his Rasa dance. And the verse today from Srimad Bhagavatam is very appropriate for us to understand the heart of Krishna. And this particular verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains what Krishna was thinking. Not often in the Vedic literature we can hear what somebody is thinking. Usually the external events are being described, but in this particular occasion Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains what is going on in the mind and in the heart of Krishna. And in this verse, Krishna is saying that this is my vrat, this is my vow, that I have to protect those who have surrendered fully unto me. The whole 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the sweet relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And therefore, this is the most important adhyaya, the book of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th skanda of Srimad Bhagavatam, skanda of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the most dear to the hearts of the devotees because it can give the love for the Supreme Lord. When we see this reciprocate feeling between the Lord and His devotees, we will be able to understand what's going on in the heart of Krishna, and we will be able to develop some sort of, at least a shadow of relationship with Krishna. I wanted in the beginning to say a few words of how important it is to hear the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quoting the great Acharya of Pushtimark, Vallabhacharya. It's very interesting because he is the proponent of so-called Krama theory, explaining the structure of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is describing sarga, visarga, and so on and so forth, the 10 topics, according to the skandhas or cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, atra sarga, visarga, shastanam, poshanam, utaya, manvantaresha, nukatha, niroda, mukti, rashraya. And he says that the two first cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is the introduction to the whole book. And starting from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, all these topics are described in a chronological, so to speak, order. Starting with sarga, the first creation, visarga, the secondary creation, fourth canto, and sthanam, poshanam, utaya, so on and so forth. So in this explanation, the tenth canto is describing Nirodha. And Nirodha literally means destruction. So one may wonder why, according to Vallabhacharya, and how he explains this, why tenth canto is describing destruction. And of course, in the tenth canto there is a lot of destruction going on. There is no shortage of destruction. Krishna is destroying, you know, all these demonic kings and fighting with them. But at the same time, we know this is not the essence of the 10th canto. You cannot say, you cannot argue with a real force that the 10th canto is mostly describing the destruction. So, Vallabhacharya explains it in a very beautiful way, which may give us the idea of what we should do in order to obtain love for Krishna. He takes Nirodha, and this word Nirodha definitely resonates with those practitioners who know what is yoga and who practice yoga or study yoga shastra, that this is the definition of Patanjali Muni. What is yoga? Yoga's chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga is basically what Patanjali Muni say in the second sutra of Yoga Sutra, is that yoga is the destruction of the mind. Chitta vritti nirodha. Destruction of the wandering propensity of the mind. What is yoga? Yoga is the practice which helps us to concentrate completely on a particular object and in this way attain a mystic experience of self-realization. The main obstacle for us to obtain the self-realization is the wanderings of the mind. The mind is, you know, all over the place. It's just, it's everywhere and nowhere in particular. It's just all over the universe, here and there, and all these vrittis, you know, I'm constantly in anxiety, this and that. And Patanjali Muni says that if you obtain this state of mind, when the mind is not wandering anymore, when the mind is completely, totally stable, then you achieve the goal of yoga. Yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. This is yoga. Nothing else is yoga. Yoga is the destruction of this propensity of the mind. So, and we know, and not only we know, even Krishna knows, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that it's a very difficult process. So much so that Arjuna says that, forget it, I'm not going to do this. Chanchalam hi manah Krishna, my mind is too chanchalam. It's just cannot stay. And this is, you know, this is Arjuna says. What to speak about us? Arjuna was able to hit the target of this little, you know, eye of the fish. And for that, with the rotating chakra or will, you know, you need to have little stability in your mind to be able to do this. You know, you have to be really concentrated on the eye of the fish. So, but Arjuna says, Chanchalam hi manah Krishna, I cannot do this, my dear Krishna.
what to speak about us, the poor and fallen people of Kali Yuga. There's so many distractions. Like Srila Radhanath Maharaj, he says, the weapons of mass destruction. You know, the Kali Yuga is that everyone is attacked by these weapons of mass distraction. We're distracted in so many different ways. So what is the hope for us to obtain this goal of yoga? What is the hope for us to really practice yoga, which is Chittavritti Nirodha? And Vallabhacharya says, yes, there is only one hope for us, is to read and hear the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is Nirodha. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is real Nirodha, because it helps us, if we really go deep into the subject matter of the 10th canto, to be absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna only, and nobody else. Nirodha, in this particular case, means that this wandering propensity of the mind becomes stopped. And this is described by Narada Muni in his Narada Bhakti Sutra, where he very interestingly described what happens with those people who hear about Krishna. And that's important for us, because this is the progression within our mind. You know, the problem with us is that we have desires in the heart. And these desires in the heart or in the mind agitate the mind constantly. Really speaking, we don't need to be agitated by the external forces. We are agitated, from inside. Even if there is no external causes for agitation, we will be agitated because so many desires are laying dormant in our heart. So what is the hope for us to be engaged in yoga? The mind will be constantly agitated. So in Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Muni explains that what happens with somebody who hears about Krishna, he says, Mattah Bhavati. First one becomes mad. First one becomes bewildered. First one becomes really, completely drunkard. He becomes happy in the heart. And then he says, Stambam Bhavati. Stambam Bhavati basically means Nirodha. The next stage, you become absorbed. You become really absorbed. You want to know what's happening next. What is next? And then he says, Atmaram Bhavati. Then the next stage is that Atmaram Bhavati, you are not dependent anymore from the external sources of enjoyment. You become completely satisfied within yourself. In other words, all the desires which were troubling your heart before that will be gone. Because of the stages, Matah Bhavati, Stambam Bhavati, and Atmarama Bhavati. And exactly the same kind of explanation is given by Vallabhacharya, where he explains the design of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that in the 10th canto, you get the absorption, and because of the absorption in topics of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, his dealings with the devotees, you will get mukti. Because after Nirodha, the mukti follows. And mukti means that you are free from the sinful desires within your heart. And only after mukti, when you are completely free from the sinful desires within your heart, from the desires which trouble your mind, only after that ashraya comes. Because ashraya means you completely have taken shelter of the Lord and you're completely fearless. Ashraya means being abhayam. So what Vallabhacharya explains is that if you listen the 10th canto, then only you will be able to obtain the shelter of the Lord and feel the protection of the Lord, which comes later, when all the desires are completely washed away from your heart. In the beginning, when you listen to the pastimes of the Lord, still the sinful desires are still dormant, and not really dormant. It would be nice if they were dormant. The sinful desires are quite wide awake in our hearts. So we listen the pastimes of Krishna, but because of the power of this listening, the power of the hearing of these pastimes, if we really get absorbed in this, if we really try to do little endeavor to get absorbed in these pastimes, we become amazed. And the wandering of the mind stops, and because of the wandering of the mind stops, the purification of the heart takes place. The sinful desires go away, and then at one point you will become completely fearless. So much so that even at the point of destruction, at the point of the universal destruction, or at the point of your death, you will not be able to move your mind from anything but Krishna. You know, the death is a very dramatic experience, and you know, the mind, Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjaratnam, Tadyayvame Vishatamana Saraja Hamsa. King Kuloshekhar says, I don't know what will happen with my mind at the time of death. It will be very difficult for me to remember about you, my dear Lord. So what Vallabhachari explains to us, he explains to us that if we really practice listening of this 10th canto, then only at the time of death we will be able to think about Krishna and nobody else. Only through this hearing process of this pastimes we will be able to really take shelter of Krishna and feel protection of Krishna, not in a theoretical way, but in a very practical way within the heart. We will be totally convinced Krishna will take care of me. I don't have to take care of myself. He will give me the shelter. He will give me protection. And here, exactly why I wanted to first speak about this, because Krishna himself assures us about this. He gives in this particular verse his rationale or his thinking. He says that because these people have taken complete shelter of myself, Matsharanam. And of course, Hridayananda Maharaj explains that Matsharanam also means that Matsharanam, they are my shelter. They are my home. And he says, Matparigraha, they are my family. And he also says, three times he says, Mat, Mannatham. And because I'm their master, because they have taken me as their master, because I'm their family, they are my family, because they have taken me as their shelter, I have to protect them. This is my vrata, this is my vow. And he says, Ahitaha. Ahitaha means vartaman, means the present tense. Ahitaha means, this is my vrata. In other words, the commentators explain this verse saying that this is my vrata always. Krishna says, this is my vrata not only for this particular incident, but for those who have taken shelter of me, for those who have real relationship with me. And he, three times, he repeats mat, 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 which means with me. Those who have real relationship with me, what is the intention of this verse? Krishna says, I take the complete responsibility of them if they have real relationship with me. The actual secret of this verse and very important message of this verse is that Krishna is taking the complete vow if we are, what is our responsibility in this relationship is that we have to really establish the relationship with Krishna within our heart, the relationship of love. If we have taken this trouble of establishing relationship with him as the inhabitants of Rajabhumi in this particular verse, then there is absolutely no doubt that Krishna will protect us. And of course, we all know the background of this story. Krishna says, don't worry, you know. Why do we have to care about Indra? Indra is just a stupid demigod. And proud too. You know, why should you worry about this? You know, just worship Govardhan Hill. After all, it's more pleasing to me if you worship Govardhan Hill. And, you know, poor, ignorant, naive Brijabasis believed Krishna. And very soon, they regretted. Because Indra became angry at them. Kavi Karnapur says that because of this neglect of Brajabasis, Indra felt acute headache in the heavens. I never heard about, you know, usually we say that in the heavens there is no headaches. But even in the heavens, in the heavenly planets, you may feel headache. And not just ordinary inhabitants of the heaven felt headache, the king of the heavens felt headache because he was totally neglected. Because in Swarga, in the heavenly planets, the ego is still there. And his ego was hurt so much. And he decided to take revenge. He decided to somehow or other to get back to these inhabitants of Vrindavan, who, according to his understanding, were foolish and ignorant. Because they worshipped a pile of stones. And, of course, sometimes acharyas explain that even some Brijabasis had some little doubts in their heart. Are we doing the right thing? Is it really possible that Govardhan will protect us? Because they somehow or other, deep within their heart, they knew that Indra will not let it go. That Indra will definitely do some mischief, some nonsense. And there was some little doubt within their heart. And Krishna here, he says that, very soon, whoever had little doubts, these doubts were confirmed. Because in the very next day, this, you know, massive clouds of universal destruction were sent by Indra and it became really dark. And the hailstorm and the, you know, the rain and everything, and it became so dark and everyone became so afraid. And at that time, they approached Krishna for protection. And that's the dealings of Krishna with his devotees. You know, he gets us on the verge of total despair. Total, complete, when we're totally despair. You know, Krishna could have, you know, he could have preached to Indra, don't do it. Or he could have kind of, you know, made some other arrangement to protect the Brajavasis, but he really first made them suffer a little bit. And then gave the protection. The first lesson of this particular verse is that Krishna does not give protection immediately. First, he really wants us to become desperate and say, Krishna, you know, after all, I have no other shelter than you. Do something about it. And I'm sure everyone has an experience of this in his own life. Sometimes we think that, you know, when I become devotee, everything should become very nice in my life. Very soon, we will be able to find out that it's not exactly true. And if we study the life of the real devotees, what to speak about us, you know, little devotees of Kali Yuga. If we study the lives of Pandavas, the lives of practically Prahlad Maharaj, of everyone, you know, does any one of them was completely free from troubles? No. Every one of them was completely full of troubles. the lives of everyone, of every devotee was just miserable. Prahlad Maharaj was suffering, Pandavas were suffering, Draupadi was suffering so much, she was insulted. Till the very last moment, Krishna was not coming to her help. Until and unless she completely raised her hands and said, Krishna, protect me. After all, I am your devotee. Till the time when she realized that there is no other shelter, Krishna would not come for her protection. So Krishna wants us, first of all, to become completely desperate for his protection, but then he gives protection. And he explains how he gives protection. In this particular verse, which is so important for us to understand, he says, I have to give protection to these people. Why? Because they have the relationship with me. The main thing which I wanted to explain by speaking on this verse is that what Krishna stresses here, he stresses here the real relationship. He says, they are connected with me, they are my family. They have taken shelter of me. And if this is the fact, the second part of the agreement also becomes the fact, I will protect them by all means. There is no doubt about it. And this is actually the essence of the of his Vrindavan Leela, of his Braj Leela. The very interesting feature of this Braj Leela is that in Braj Leela, nobody is connected with Krishna in a formal way. The very important message of this Braj Leela is that Krishna doesn't like any formalities. Why? Because in Vrindavan, everything is parakya, right? Gopis are not connected with Krishna in a formal way. Gopis were not duly wedded with Krishna. His parents also have parakya relationship with him. Because they are not real parents. They are adopted parents. Yashoda and Nanda, they vatsalya is parakya. The friends which are there, they also have parakya relationship with Krishna. Their sakya is also parakya. It's not really because they are not really equals with him. He is from the royal family and they are from simple cowherd family. It's not real sakya because we know that sakya, the friendship, can only be with our equals. And even the dasas, those servants which are there in Vraj, they also still have some tinge of parakya relationship with Krishna. And by stressing this illegal, so to speak, quote-unquote, relationship, Krishna wants to show and to prove to us that what he wants from us, what he really expects from us, the real relationship, not the formal relationship. And it is very interestingly described by Lord Shiva in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. I wanted to tell a little story because this is a story which really illustrates the message of this verse, the important message of this verse. Krishna wants the real relationship. Krishna wants the real love. What happened in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada was looking for a real devotee. And he ultimately came to Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva said, no, I'm not a real devotee. I have so much ego. You know, how you can call me a real devotee? My ego is just blocking. It's standing between me and Krishna. Don't take me seriously. I'm not a real devotee. I'm just a pretender. And then Parvati, she became really excited and she said, I will tell you where you can find the real devotees. You can find the real devotees in Vaikuntha. And among all these real devotees, they are great devotees, they are there in Vaikuntha, they are serving the Lord all the time, 24 hours a day, you know, constantly immersed in the service of the Lord. Among them, the best is my dear friend Lakshmi. She is the best. You go to Vaikuntha immediately, you will find the real devotee there. And Narada was really excited. He was ready to go to Vaikuntha. He looked up in the Vaikuntha and he was ready to go there as a rocket to find the real devotee. When Lord Shiva says, I will tell you something secret on your ear. Lord Shiva didn't dare to say something contrary to his wife in front of her. Lord Shiva is also a little bit afraid of the troubles which his wife can cause to him. So he called Narada Muni. He says, yeah, you know, don't listen to her. She's just a silly woman. He didn't say this. He was very respectful. He said, you know, she's right, but this is not the real truth. Don't go to Vaikuntha. Oh no, actually, I'm really sorry because Parvati said, and now the Lakshmi, the Purna Lakshmi is there in Dwaraka. And she is living there with Lord Krishna as Rukmini. You go to Dwaraka and go to her. You will see the real devotee there. And Lord Shiva, he calls Narada aside and he says, no, don't go to Dwaraka. Don't go to Rukmini. If you want to see the real devotee, go to Prahlad. And it's a very amazing statement. What Lord Shiva wants to say to us, and to Narada Muni, of course, is that relationship which are there between Prahlad and Krishna are closer than relationship which are there between Krishna and Rukmini. Why? Because the relationship between Krishna and Rukmini have the formal frame in them. Because there is a formality, the officially wedded couple, and because of this formality, the relationship are not so deep. And he says, you go, if you want to see or experience or to find out who has the real love, go to Prahlad. Because Prahlad is not in any way or form, is connected formally with the Lord, but he has love in his heart. And because of this love, he experienced so much pain and still he remains steady in his devotion to the Lord. Basically, what he wants to say to Narada Muni is that we don't know what will happen with Rukmini if she would have to go what Prahlad underwent in his life. Because Rukmini first quarrel between Rukmini and Krishna started even before they were duly married. You know, when Krishna did a special haircut to her brother, she was not very happy. So much so that even Balaram started chastising Krishna and said, you know, Krishna, you know, it's not proper to deal in such a way with your brother-in-law. Of course, later on, Balaram did a much sorrow haircut to to Rukmi. He cut his head. But in this particular incident, he said, Krishna, you're not doing the right thing. Why? Because Rukmini was angry at Krishna. Why she was angry at Krishna? Because she was more appreciating the formal relationship than the relationship of the heart. Here she is in front of Krishna, who is supposed to be her heart and soul, and she's angry with him because some formal relationship are disturbed by Krishna's action. She values the relationship with her brother even more than the relationship with Krishna. Even though she wrote this Prema Patra and so on and so forth. But, you know, she was disturbed by the action of Krishna. And Krishna was doing so much trouble to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And they were never disturbed. Never. You know, why? Because they had this completely unflinching love. When gopis came to Krishna, and at this night of Rasa Purnim, Krishna said, I wonder what are you doing here in this dark forest at night? You know, usually women don't wander alone in the dark forest at night. You know, why did you come here? And Gopi said, oh Krishna, you know, you're just testing us. We know you called us. Krishna is causing troubles to his devotees. Why? To feel the sweetness of their love. That their love is not caused by any selfish motive. That their love is real love. He is after this real love, and therefore he is tasting this love, and he is ready to reciprocate with this love no matter what. Whatever will happen, he will reciprocate with this love. So the real message of this verse, when Krishna repeats three times, mat, 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 is that they are connected with me, and their connection is real and not formal. And because their connection is real, I am ready to give all protection to them. What happens with Narada and Shiva, going back to our story, when Shiva takes aside Narada and says, you know, you go to Prahlad. He says, Narada, and it's very interesting, extremely interesting, because he says, Narada, it seems like you have forgotten a shloka from Puranas, where Krishna himself discloses what he really values. You were bewildered by the stupid words of my wife, and you were ready to go to Rukmini to find the real devotee. Why? Because you have forgotten a very important shloka from Puranas. And Sanatana Goswami, he explains, commenting on this verse, that there is a Vishva Prasida, or very famous shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. When he says Puranas, he means Srimad Bhagavatam, and perhaps in other Puranas it's also quoted, where Krishna says, Naham Atmanam Asase Ma Bhaktanam Sadubir Vina Sriyah Kantiki Vati Sriyaha Kantiki Vati Yesham Gatir Aham Para. This is a very important verse which also Jiva Goswami quotes in his Priti Sandarbha, and which Sanatana Goswami quotes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, explaining this very point. And this is the verse which Krishna himself tells to Durvasa Muni. And in this verse he says, Naham Atmanam Asase, Naham Atmanam Asase, I cannot be happy by myself without my devotees. What Krishna says in this verse, that the happiness which I feel within myself, within my heart, is not as important and overwhelming for me as the happiness which I feel from the relationship with my devotees. Bhaktai sadubir vina. Without my devotees, I cannot be happy. Sriyah I kantiki vati. Even the immense opulence which is there in Vaikuntha, immense opulence which is there anywhere, cannot make me happy. What can make me happy? Only relationship, only love can make me happy. Only love can make me really satisfied. Love with whom? Relationship with whom? And he says, Yesham Gatir Ahampara. With those people who made me their supreme destination or supreme shelter. Those people who don't know any other destination, any other relationship. Gatim para, para gatim. For those people who don't have any other goal in their life. What Krishna is trying to explain to Durvasa Muni and why Acharyas quote this verse for us, because this is the very important understanding for us. If we don't have any other goal than Krishna, if Krishna is the supreme goal of our life and our endeavors, then the real relationship are established. If we have some other goal, if something else is our goal, even our own happiness, then Krishna may or may not give us protection. Then Krishna, there is no relationship. When the real relationship is that we understand that nothing else can satisfy me, only relationship, only love. Krishna himself says that only love can satisfy me. And this is Krishna. He says, Sri Yama I can't give up. Even the immense, even Lakshmi Devi, even, and he specifically says, even Lakshmi Devi, Sri Yama I can't give up. The one who has this immense opulence, that will not bring happiness to my heart. What can bring happiness to my heart? The real relationship, sincere relationship. Nothing else can satisfy me. And that's exactly what Krishna says in this verse when he says, because these people are my own family, because the relationship with me are based on love, because they are connected with me, and the connection with me is real, for this very purpose, Goptaye, I have to protect them. I have no other choice. I have to protect them. Goptaye, I must. This is my vrata. This is my vow. Because of the real relationship. And, of course, you know, in the next verse, Krishna will lift Govardhan Hill and he will prove that it was not without a reason that he asked the Brijbasis to worship Govardhan. Basically, the very interesting point of this verse is that Krishna says, why I feel obliged to protect them? Because they have real love for me. And because of this real relationship, they will be protected at any point of time. Always. Now, in the future, at the time of devastation, and therefore they should not feel any fear. And basically, if we're coming back to the beginning of our lecture, when we hear the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the real relationship between Krishna and the devotees are being described, we have to really try to feel the taste of this relationship. The taste of complete, total dedication of the devotees to Krishna, who are ready to undergo any trouble, any problems for the sake of Krishna. And reciprocal feeling of Krishna, who first, in the first place, causes these troubles, but then gives the complete protection to them, to feel the sweetness of the love, to feel the real sweetness of this relationship. And basically, the main lesson of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, is that we only need love. We don't need anything else. There is no other dharma, there is no other duty in our life which can make us happy. The very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Suta Goswami says that the paradharma of the living entity, of the soul, is to have the complete pure relationship with the Lord. That should be our goal. That should be our only goal. Everything else is just useless waste of time. So this is few words which I wanted to speak about on the basis of this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna says that because they have real relationship, I am obliged to give them shelter. I will protect them, there is no doubt about it. And, you know, little troubles which we undergo in our life is a very little price for this feeling which we may get, feeling of complete protection and real relationship with Krishna. I'm speaking on my own experience, you know. Krishna is very merciful towards Russian devotees. They are his favorites because he makes so many troubles to them. And gives us assurance that, you know, don't worry, I will protect you. I feel obliged to protect you at the end of the day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I guess we have to finish now.